The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, apparently on the wrong side to many people. On the right side, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than the producer. What's happening?
Nothing much. That is really messing with people, huh?
It continues.
The side thing.
It continues. People are adamant that I'm on the wrong side because apparently there's an unwritten rule that the host should be where you're sitting. But I did not get the memo on that.
We're also all over the place here at VSiN. We don't really have that consistent at all. So guess what? Give it a week. I guarantee you'll forget about it.
Sweet Lou Finicaro said that we, as a gag, should switch sides every day or like mess up people. On the show today, college football and baseball with Jonathan Von Tobel, our own JVT. Some Major League Baseball and NFL with Will Hill coming up as well. Teaser time. We will talk teasers. I don't know that we usually talk about it on a Wednesday. Usually we reserve teasers for Tuesdays to get the alliteration in there, but we're doing it today. We'll define Stanford Wong teasers for you as well, for those who are unaware of what those are. NFL awards draft. Oh, this is good. You and me.
I'm pumped.
In a draft, mano a mano.
Yeah.
What are the rules? We each get to pick. These are just award markets.
Okay. We have a $1,000 bankroll. Okay?
Yes.
$1,000 bankroll. 10 bets that we can make, okay? We have to make at least 5 today for this draft.
Okay.
And then we can leave up to 5 spots open to add throughout the season.
Okay. I have a strategy. Just knee-jerk strategy I just came up with.
Okay.
All right. And then Jason Weingarten a little later on. Jason is prepared. The smoke might not be as heavy today. He's got some Major League Baseball and NFL awards to discuss about his article at VSiN.com. We'll do that. We start as we have each and every day. This week and last week with the U.S. Open, the greatest show in sports, and as has been the case for us, one of the great betting vehicles of them all. And yesterday, another winner, Taylor Fritz, as a +147 dog, gets it done in 4 sets against Sasha Zverev. That was massive for us once again as the winning continues. So Taylor Fritz gets to his first ever Grand Slam semifinal. He will take on Francis Tiafoe, who advanced his first, by the way, Grand Slam semifinal. He advanced by walkover. Thought about you, Kelly.
Yeah.
By walkover. Grigor Dimitrov couldn't continue. Tiafoe was up 2-1, was up a break, and Dimitrov had it at that point. I think it was even a second break at that point. So that is what the first men's semifinal will be. So a winner on Fritz. We were not involved in the Dimitrov-Tiafoe match. We lost one of our quarter bets yesterday. Mm. We lost on Paula Badosa at +550. Now, here was the thing that I mentioned this yesterday on the show. Somebody had tweeted in, hey, I have both Badosa and Muhova in their respective quarters in a parlay, 200 to win 13,000. What should I do? And I said yesterday on the show, what I actually tweeted him back was, and I usually don't get involved in hedging discussions on Twitter because I don't want to sort of weigh in on somebody's personal bets.
Sure. Yep.
But in this case, I said to him, I go, probably bet a little on Emma Navarro just in case.
I agree with you. I don't like to give people too much advice on that, but you can give them, you can lay it out for the, hey, if you wanted to hedge, this is how you would do it.
And that's what I did. I said, put a little on Emma Navarro, up to you how much your outlay, a little more, a little more than more, if you will, a little more than just a little, I should say. And, in the end, what ends up happening is, and I felt for poor Zach because Zach had Badosa in the match as well. And as someone who has had, and this is the thing about bad beats in sports betting, it doesn't have to just be tennis. When someone else is having a bad beat and they're having a relentless run of bad beats, your reaction tends to be, oh, this person is exaggerating, right? Mm. Oh, bad beat's always a bad beat. No, trust me, in tennis, there are... I've had at least 15 or 20 matches where we're right on the doorstep of winning and either someone quit, someone just gacked, the stage was too big, whatever it was. Because if you bet hundreds of tennis matches a year, it's going to happen that way. This wasn't a bad beat yesterday because it was only the second set. But Emma Navarro was up a set on Paula Badosa. She was up, Badosa was 5-1 in the second set. And she proceeded at that point to only get 5 points total for the next 6 games as Navarro came back and beat her and won the match, won that set 7-5. In fact, of those 5 points, I think the very first point was a Badosa point as well. So it was 24 of the last 28 points went to Navarro. Badosa said afterwards, because you're like, I mean, is this really, are you making this up that the stage was too big?
Yeah.
She actually said it afterwards. She's like, I'll get the exact quote here.
Because I heard Navarro afterward. Did you hear what she said afterward? I was pretty shocked. She didn't say it in a cocky fashion at all. But she was like, I thought it was going to be done in two.
She said she felt that Badosa was not as confident as she. She felt that there was a little something happening that she could get it done.
What I was like, man, that's a confident statement. Like, was there something she saw out there? Because I was only watching lightly. I didn't see anything.
Here's the quote from Badosa. The court became smaller. I had a lot of negative phrases in my head. I wanted to leave the court. That is ungood.
Yeah.
That is not good.
You know what? I'm glad to hear an athlete admit it, though. Like, I have never have a problem when athletes speak the truth like that. It becomes concerning when you're betting on them over a long period of time. But, like,
well,
it's better than just a BS garbage answer.
There's no way to handicap that is the point, right? There's no way. So I felt for poor Zach. Obviously, I felt for our futures bet on her winning the quarter. But I had this feeling about Badosa yesterday, and it turned out that was the case. Badosa, by the way, she had to say something because she was tearing up. She was welling up with tears on the court while it was happening. I saw none of this live because we were recording the Beating the Book Megapod yesterday. And thank you, everybody, for all the response on that. So I did see the replay, and it was just brutal to watch. I am very pumped today. Karolina Muchova is involved in the first match. That is our 10-1 in her quarter. So hopefully that future gets home. And for those of you who tweeted yesterday, who said not only did you have 10-1 on her to win that quarter, you have her at 100-1 in one case, and somebody else said they had her at 150-1. Good God, could you please tell me where you got these numbers? Not for this tournament, obviously, but for future tournaments, if I want to find out where a rogue tennis number might lie. The only play today is on the men's side once again, and this is again where I say it pays to be a subscriber at VSiN.com/picks. This is only for survivors. Every host, every guest, every sport, every bet on the network is at VSiN.com/picks. And with tennis, more often than not, we get a lot of good CLV, a lot of closing line value. That is good for those who are wondering, oh, big deal, closing line value. The more you're able to do that, the higher the rate that you're able to do that. The theory is, anyway, and the math will bear this out over time, the more successful you will be. Betting. Now, are there times we come in here and we're 5 cents behind a line? Sure, that happens, but it's never more than that, typically. Here's another case. Alex de Minaur is the play against Jack Draper. I kind of hinted at this play yesterday on the show when Zach was on. De Minaur, I got at minus 127 yesterday over Jack Draper. He's about minus 147 now. Here's the thing. If we're doing this correctly, you should not bet him at minus 147. Don't. If it's in the minus 130s, okay. But anything in the minus 140s, just to make it easy to think about, I would not bet this. Now, I know inevitably, even as I'm saying this, some people are going to bet him at minus 147.
Yeah.
Just so you know, that's kind of not the way we should do this. But that is the play. And again, if you are a subscriber at VSiN.com, VSiN.com/picks, again, every host, every guest, every sport, once again, with all of our plays.
Well, guess what? I'm going to stay away then today. I tailed you on Fritz yesterday. That was a nice hit. Let's move on. Yes, you're right. A 20 cent move that is not a habit you should get into.
Yeah. And the 20 cent move, for those who are like, hey, but when you had a plus 280 and then you said you can bet it at plus 250, that's not the same math.
Yeah,
on those
absolutely. Yeah,
so yeah. So in this case, I would stay away at this, but that's the play today. Alex de Minaur for subscribers who got it yesterday. That's the only play in tennis today. And obviously this is the back end of the quarterfinals. The other future we have going besides Muchova this morning for the quarter is Iga. To win the tournament, she's taking on Jessie Pegula a little later on. Greatest tournament ever. Wish we were in New York City.
What are your early thoughts on Fritz and Tiafoe? Because I'm excited. I mean, Americans men's tennis. Let's go.
Here's the thing. Besides this De Minaur match today, the demon, as they call him, every one of these other matches, the other three quarters today and the two semis that have already been established, the prices are all right.
Okay.
Like all of them are right where they should be, which is that Taylor Fritz is north of a $2 favorite against Francis Tiafoe, to answer your question. And I know there's like if you watch the McEnroe brothers on the main broadcast, without, you know, they're not looking at the data of these two. So it's like, oh, it's Tiafoe in New York. And by the way, that's why I stayed away from it, because I do have some respect for the whole Tiafoe on American soil thing. But against Taylor Fritz, the data is pretty lopsided. And how, so I think it's appropriately priced.
How bad does that dude just want to play without a shirt on? Because I feel
Tiafoe?
Like, oh, yeah, it's off as soon as like he gets to walk over. It's just like, oh, let me take the shirt off. And hey, I would, too. I would, too, if I looked like that.
A lot of guns.
A lot of guns.
At the U.S.
I mean, that's a good looking semifinal. I'm OK. I'm man enough to admit it.
Wow.
That is two good looking men right there.
Kelly Billen, everybody. With very honest assessment of things.
It's like Adam Scott in golf. You can't deny that.
It's a good-looking man.
Good-looking man.
maybe we should do a segment on this, Kelly. Just your guys that you think are good-looking.
Man crushes.
One thing before we get to the break, because we got to get to JBT here. Paul Skeens yesterday started for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates shut out the Cubs 5-0. Skeens went 5 innings of shutout ball, obviously. It was not the most efficient start for Skeens, but once again, 100 pitches, didn't give up a run. And just the question of, because I sort of slipped this in yesterday, we talked quickly about awards. I just have this sneaking suspicion. I go, we saw Jackson Barrels minus 1,000 in the NL Rookie of the Year market. I just have this sneaking suspicion that this is going to be closer than that market reflects.
And you've got Churio down to 12-1.
Churio had a great game. A couple people tweeted me that. He had a good game. We asked Jason about Jackson Churio's candidacy here, or his shots at getting the Rookie of the Year, not his candidacy. But I think Merrill probably squeaks home. But I just think there's a lot of sentiment for Skeens that still exists among voters.
I think Merrill squeaks home and Churio's not even close somehow.
I would agree with that. JBT, college football, baseball on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. The mothership.
That's right.
Kelly and I are just like, it's new kids and what's the expression? I don't even know what the
I don't know
is.
Where you're going.
I don't even know. But it's like, earlier, it's like Christmas
some,
morning.
Yeah,
for
seeing some of the crew back here, it's like a time machine. I feel like we showed up at the wrong studio. We should be down at South Point when you see Rob Moreno, Isaiah Wrinkle, and Wyatt Tomchak in the same room.
But again, a shout out to Sean McCollum and
Matt Hicks, Larry Meir, all doing awesome work, still doing awesome
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. Yep. Stuck in a closet back at the D. But we still love him. Will Hill is here. We still love him. At not the Will Hill on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Will is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, where his guests are oh so familiar. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? 100th episode today. So exciting stuff. And I listen to your show all the time. I don't really watch. And I've heard all the comments about people being thrown off by you guys sitting on different sides. Now I see it. It feels like, you ever try to put on like your right shoe on your left foot or vice versa, and immediately it doesn't fit right? That's kind of what this feels like. Right shoe on left foot here.
Well, thanks for starting off the segment with that. Yeah, now I feel awkward.
You know what I noticed, Gil?
Yeah.
Is our posture looks a whole lot better over here. I'm not doing like Larry King leaning or like slouched back in my chair.
I don't know what to do with my right arm, but other than that, we're good. Hey, Will, let me ask you a question here. Kelly put this in the rundown, but I'm also reminded that I got more than one tweet about this. That Francisco Lindor hits his 30th home run of the season, steals his 26th base last night in the Mets 7-2 win over the Red Sox. And I'm getting some people right on Twitter who are like, hey, Lindor, our buddy Chris Felica texts. He's joking, I think, right? Every time he texts about Lindor, he's like, MVP Francisco Lindor. This is not a thing, right? Like, he has no chance at this.
That'd be an interesting question. How many votes would he get if it ended now? Would he get some votes? He might get a couple.
Couple.
It's one of those things where should it be minus 2,000? Maybe not. But is Lindor actually going to win, barring something unforeseen? I don't think so. It's a great like sports talk radio debate. I mean, I could think back to like the late 90s, early 2000s. I could picture Mike and the Mad Dog doing 6 hours on this. The value of a defensive shortstop who also has power versus just the DH, and what's more valuable. And I get all the debates. I think it was Buck Showalter, who's been extremely classy post Mets tenure. He's praised the manager, said he should be manager of the year, said Lindor would get his vote for MVP because he can go 0-4 and still win you a ball game because of his defense. But ultimately, I think Lindor maybe gets a vote or two, and Ohtani wins this probably going in away here. And I think, you know, if you ask Bear's probably tongue in cheek, but I know he thinks that Mookie Betts is just as valuable, if not more valuable, than Ohtani. So, I mean, Ohtani is on a loaded team. Are we overrating the steals a little bit? Like, do the steals matter as much as the defense? I think there's a case for Lindor. I just don't ultimately think he's going to win.
Yeah, but I'm always amused by people who, you know, we've had these benchmarks, you know, the baseball card stats of the Triple Crown numbers, home runs, RBIs, and batting average. We've always had the mythical 40-40 thing. Now Shohei trying to do 50-50. I love this thing about people who are never into analytics ignoring all of that stuff that they've been talking about for their entire lives and being like, what about war? Oh, war. It's very important. You know, it's like, come on. No,
people are always going to look for whatever fits their angle, their narrative. And I asked you, I thought a great question, as I'm known to do, the other day when you were on with Holden Kushner and I, what do they open Shohei Ohtani MVP next year?
Yes.
Because you're going to add a whole new position, by the way. Oh, he's like a top five pitcher in the National League, on top of the 50-50, and maybe he doesn't run as much because he's pitching. But I mean, can you make that even money? I don't know. No. 2-1 is just like an automatic bet. If you're the Gil Alexander Sportsbook, what do you open that line at?
Well, I'll tell what I answered the other day when you guys asked me this. When you asked me this, was that he would have to be in the same way that Wembanyama is minus $2.
I was just going to bring that up.
In the NBA Defensive Player of the Year, you would have to make Shohei that, because if you don't, first of all, everybody's betting it, right?
You make a don't bet this line. Do not bet this, please. -300. Yes, go away. Yeah. We don't want your bets.
That's right. So it would have to be north of $2 to start with, because as you said, it's like, let's take this guy who almost wins the Triple Crown but gets 50-50, and now, oh, by the way, he's going to play the other position, the other major position in baseball, and he's going to do it at a near Cy Young level, probably. So it's like, it's just ridiculous, this guy.
Yeah, Wemby -180 for Defensive Player of the Year. Maybe Shohei's -150-ish.
I think -150 is too low as a start. Right. Yeah. I do.
I think they'll open it even money, but I don't know if that's the right line. Again, I'm just guessing. I have no idea. It's just, I can't wrap my brain around it. Like, we see these awards markets all the time. Like, wow, that guy's 3-1. That's shorter. He's 4-1. That's way too short. Like, Mahomes, people are like, oh, what? Can't bet Mahomes at +475. That's way too short. Minus money for MVP, a season-long award. It's crazy to think about. It really is, but it's probably the right price.
What did you bet today in baseball?
I bet the Royals with Lugo going against Ben Lively. And it's interesting with Cleveland, man. A couple times this month, you know, Minnesota got right there, about to tie them for the division. Cleveland got on a run, built themselves a nice little cushion. And the same thing, I think it was a week ago today, Kansas City was about to take the lead in division, to take first place. I know we were on that group text like, oh, Those Guardians division tickets are confetti now. And Kansas City, I think, was up 5-2 in the seventh or eighth inning. Cleveland comes back and wins that game to stay in first. And they've just kind of run away with it here. We're now in a position where we've got the AL East race, which I don't want to talk about, by the way. And we have the National League wildcard race. Other than that, all of these races might be spoken for. But back to this handicap here, I just think Lugo at home against Lively. Lively, bottom of the league in velocity, exit velocity, doesn't get any chases, doesn't get any swings and misses. Royals obviously hit much better at home. Their offensive numbers at home are much better. And as somebody who's very unbiased, an unbiased observer of the American League Cy Young race, I think if Seth Lugo and Kansas City win this game today, you have to give them the Cy Young. I think you'd agree, right?
By the way, that's a good recall on that the Guardians had beaten, excuse me, the Royals had beaten the Guardians three times in a row.
Yep.
It was tied. And the Guardians needed a 5-run eighth to tie the fourth game around. It's a great point on that. You say you have no interest in talking about the AL East race, so let's talk about the AL East race. You are a Yankees fan. Are you feeling confident at all? At all?
Confident in what?
In them?
Confident in the other team when Clay Holmes comes to the game. I mean, it just, I don't know if you saw the ball DJ LeMahieu dropped to kind of start things off in the eighth inning. It's a ball like a little leaguer would have caught, and I'm not even exaggerating. I don't know. You start to get down on them, they rip off like 4 out of 5, and you start to feel good about them, they lose. They really missed the window of opportunity to expand the lead, and it's a good reminder going forward, and you talk about it a lot. You have a month with a soft schedule that doesn't always manifest, and they had this past month, this August, where they played the White Sox and the Angels and the Nationals and the Rockies, and man, they're going to run and hide. Well, they basically, you know, split those games and didn't run and hide, so I'd favor Baltimore just because Baltimore has the tiebreaker right now. I think it's a toss-up. I think Baltimore's now actually favored in the odds. I wouldn't be shocked if the Yankees won, but look, I've been back and forth, and rightfully so, because both these teams have been so strange, so up and down. Right now, like, if you gave me truth serum, you asked me who wins the division, I think I'd say Baltimore.
Orioles minus 125, Yankees even money at DraftKings.
Week one, National Football League. Do you go pretty aggressively on week one? Do you hold it back? Is there no really pat answer to that question?
I'm less aggressive because as much as we think we know, I mean, that doesn't mean that we're going to see it in week one. And these teams play less and less in the preseason. You have a good line, I think, of just, man, your natural instinct to take points should be the right one. It's probably the right one where, and you're going to lay points in these games, you're probably asking for trouble. So I'm a little less aggressive.
What did you end up with? What's the one you feel the most conviction on?
I like that under in Steelers Falcons, just because I think you've got two defensive coaches. Most coaches now, fourth and two from the 50, are going to go for it. These guys might punt. Russell Wilson's a perfect under quarterback because he's going to take care of the ball. He's not going to turn it over, but I don't know how much he's going to move the ball. Cousins coming off the Achilles against a pretty good pass rush. You figure they'll probably be conservative. And the whole thing last year was they didn't give Bijan Robinson the ball enough. You figure they'll get him involved. Arthur Smith's a conservative offensive coordinator. I just think a lot adds up to, 21-20, 2017 type of game. I like the under there.
Will Hill, not only the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, not only part of the Chris Felica Bear Bets Pod Empire over at Fox Sports, but a key cog in the Megapod wheel, the Beating the Book Megapod wheel. We had our first one yesterday, Will.
So much fun.
So much fun. Just a blast. Todd Wishnev, not annoying at all, by the way. Not at all. And Steve Fezzik was our first rotating guest of the year. So it was just, it was information. It was funny. It was awesome.
I think it was good because we all love Fez and respect Fez enough, but we all know him well enough where we can need him a little bit. It was just the perfect balance.
Yeah, I might have started that within 60 seconds by calling him something.
That was perfect. You just said it so casually. Yeah. And if anyone was wondering, hey, the first round of picks, is anyone going to try to steal a half a point? We make odds on it. Cash there, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. You can imagine who that might have been. Last thing, 30 seconds, your favorite college football play of the weekend.
Under Michigan, Texas has gotten bet here, but I'd still lean that way. I think the only way Michigan can win this game is just run the ball, bleed the clock, hopefully steal a possession. Michigan team total under might be the better way to go, although I got burned on that last week with, I thought, a pretty good handicap, but Notre Dame team total under. But I'll go Michigan, Texas under the 42.5.
Willie, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing the Megapod. Look forward to a great year doing that, man.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
At not the Will Hill. That's the with two E's. On the Twitter machine, if you want to check out Will's musings. Musings, a correct word? A little pithy remark that he has on there? Sure, musings. We'll come back. Speaking of musings, teaser time. Ready for this?
Yeah!
Teasers for week one in the National Football League. There are some, how can I put this, obvious spots, obvious in quotes, as obvious as they might seem, and then not so obvious ones. We'll see how we tackle this. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Each and every way you take us in, doesn't matter which way, we appreciate it very much. Shout out to the Game Plus folks in Canada, though. We're always tickled. Tickled by that. It's Gil Alexander. That is Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten on NFL awards. Or NFL season long, some MLB thoughts as well. Does he think Jackson Churio is still in the NL Rookie of the Year race? We will get into that with him. And Kelly and I have ourselves a little something we like to call an NFL awards draft, where, again, we're doing a mythical thing where we're drafting 10 mythical bets, $100 a piece. But we have
10
to do
spots open.
10 spots open, a minimum of 5.
Minimum 5 today.
All right. I have a strategery I'm gonna beat you with here today, I think. We'll see. Maybe not. Maybe maybe you will anticipate my strategy and block me from the strategy.
No. I don't think so. I don't really know where you're going with the strategy. So, yeah.
Guess we'll find out together. Ladies and gentlemen, this man's brain is much larger than yours and mine combined. He is the proprietor of the Power Rank. It's our buddy Ed Feng, Stanford graduate and PhD, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Ed?
Nothing much. Thanks, guys, so much for having me.
Ed, would you please, we do this annually with you. Would you please tell people what your thesis was for your PhD?
It was the kinetic theory for polymers. It was a very theoretical study in how polymers move in liquids with pretty much zero application to the real world, but it was a lot of fun.
Kelly took that at FSU. His freshman year.
Yeah, you never asked me what my thesis was on.
What was your thesis?
I don't know. I just barely got a bachelor's degree at first. It took 5 years. Okay.
And I love that you have decided to devote your life, though, to the sports prognostication business. When was it after you went through your academic life where you were like, the light bulb turned on, you're like, nope, this is what I'm doing?
I think it was when I realized that I could actually apply all this math that I was learning to sports. I actually have a pretty sophisticated algorithm for how to rank college football and NFL teams. And it's one of these things that I could have written a paper about, and I think it would have been publishable. And I think probably would have gotten some attention in the academic world. But Gil, I don't care about that. I actually want to win some sports bets.
There you go.
And hopefully some of the things we'll talk about today are much less sophisticated models. I will not get another advanced degree based on them, but they are very effective. And I'm proud to be just play a little part in that.
Polymers, Kelly. Polymers.
Polymers.
Okay, Ed, let me ask you this. So we've had you on before when you would do your guide to March Madness and how to win your bracketology pool, your bracket pool. Now you've done something called the 24-hour guide to betting the NFL. Explain to us, sir.
Yeah, it's the 60-minute guide to the 2024 football season. I wanted to create something of high quality, but an audio product. I feel like there's and with some actionable betting information in there. So there's two deep dive stories into analytics that I've done that have betting applications. The first one is how to predict interceptions, and I talk about Josh Allen in that case and how he seems like a gunslinger. But the reality is much different when you look at some of these advanced statistics. And then the second story is how to make a surprisingly accurate NFL spread predictions. This is based on the wisdom of crowds. It's something I never thought in my wildest dreams would be an accurate way of making NFL spread predictions. This week, like pouring through what sports writers are writing out there. You know, you can just Google NFL power rankings right now and you get the subjective opinions of a lot of sports writers. But when you combine a lot of them together, it ends up being a really powerful tool for predicting NFL spreads. I certainly don't recommend just taking this model that actually has been 54%+ against the spread the first 6 weeks of the season and just betting on that. But I do think it is a really important tool to assess team strength in the NFL, and that actually persists all the way through the playoffs.
I got thrown off by the fact that it is the year 2024. It is actually called the 60-minute guide to the 2024, pardon me, football season, the ultimate betting and analytics preview. Best way for people to get this, Ed, is at on Twitter at the Power Rank?
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, I have a URL, thepowerrank.us. That'll take you to a place on my site. And I actually think the most important thing here is if you have certain types of plans on Spotify, you can actually listen for free. You can check that out on my site.
Nice.
But also it's available for $4.99. A lot of places on a lot of platforms in which you get your audiobook, and it's linked to my Twitter as well.
All right. Did I catch in there that you actually had an most interceptions bet on Josh Allen? Is that the case?
I looked at the market for Allen. I wanted to kind of use Allen as an example for someone who seems like a reckless gunslinger. And I took the example of his 3-interception game to Jordan Whitehead to open the 2023 season. The truth is actually a lot different. I was actually thinking of betting a Josh Allen under for the season. It turns out there's not a lot of value there. The guy's just healthy and tends to play 16, 17 games. So I didn't see a lot of value, but I'd be happy to share another season-long interception bet if you guys would be interested.
Please, absolutely.
One quarterback that this analysis really highlights, and this is actually, I didn't put him in the guide, is Baker Mayfield. This is the analysis of interceptions is based on how often a quarterback puts a ball in dangerous situations. Clearly, when the ball gets intercepted, it's a dangerous situation, but also when the pass gets defended. When the defense gets a hand on the ball, that is a situation in which the quarterback puts the ball in a dangerous situation. Baker is the worst at putting the ball in dangerous situations. He does it at a very high rate. He does it at a rate higher than anyone else who's thrown 1,000 pass attempts in the NFL over the last 3 seasons. Will Levis is actually worse, but we only have a 1-year rookie sample size for him. So Baker Mayfield is really the worst at I predict him to throw a lot of interceptions this year. At one point this summer, you could have gotten on FanDuel Baker 16-1 to lead the NFL in interceptions. I think there's good value. I think that number should be closer to plus 750, which is where the favorite was. And I also on FanDuel right now, you can get Baker over 10.5 interceptions. I think there's a lot of value there. I put it closer to 12.5, and that's only assuming he throws about 500 pass attempts. He actually threw 566 in the regular season last year. I also don't think he gets benched because I just don't think that they're going to go with a Kyle Trask or a John Wolford there. And so assuming he stays healthy, I definitely see him throwing 11 or more interceptions.
I like it. That's strong conviction on Baker Mayfield, most interceptions for those books that have that available. Ed was quoting the FanDuel numbers. I remember you'd come on before we've had long discussions on the most sacks market as well. Do you have thoughts there?
I have a lot of thoughts about sacks. I haven't actually looked at the most sack market, but Gil, this is one thing I really want to get into this season. And the main reason is because quarterbacks have a lot more control over sacks than people think. People think it's an offensive line thing. And yes, they certainly play a role. But when you look at a quarterback's sack rate allowed, so you just take sacks divided by, I think you need to do pass attempts plus sacks in the NFL. When you look at that rate, it's wildly predictive. So it is on, it is about equivalent to a quarterback's completion percentage or this bad ball rate, the rate that quarterbacks put the ball into dangerous situations. It's about as sticky as those two quantities. Now, Gil, when you take like sacks and you add in quarterback hits on top of that, so you look at all the times that a quarterback gets contacted, and this is just something that's in the NFL data, that contact rate is like twice as predictive as even the sack rate. So quarterbacks have all kinds of control over how often they get contacted. You can kind of think about it in terms of the pocket presence. Like, do you have a guy like Tom Brady that knows how to get rid of the ball, not take a hit, not get sacked? That's all on the quarterback, whether his line is good or bad. And I think when you're looking, my intention this year is like when you're looking at sack props to bet for the game, yes, you certainly want to look who the defender is, right? Because there's a difference between Micah Parsons and, the fourth stringer on the Cowboys. But you also really need to look at the opposing quarterback. I'm really interested to see how the market looks into that. And that is something I'm looking to build models for this year, like I have for interceptions in the past.
All right, I like that. Some food for thought for folks from a week-to-week basis on sack props of individual quarterbacks based on everything that Ed was just talking about. Ed, always a pleasure, man. Great to see you. And good luck with the 60-minute guide to the 2024 football season, the ultimate betting and analytics preview, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Gil and Kelly.
Ed Feng at the Power Rank, Stanford PhD. Can I read some tweets, by the way? Is that allowed?
Yeah, you can. Absolutely.
We get tweets.
Great stuff from Ed.
Ed Feng always putting out something that's a little different than the normal fare.
Yeah, that's that I did bet Levis most interceptions this year, which at least is a little bit in line with what he was bringing up with those guys. But I can't. Baker Mayfield, I think, is a good bet in that market too.
This is from Todd Bubba Horowitz on Twitter. We get tweets. Thanks for the great tennis picks. The new studio will prevent me from barging in when I want. You now have a lock on the door. And then he sort of acronyms something. Sort of badly phrased there, bad words. So I don't know that we have a lock on the door, do we? Yes, we have a lock on the door, Kelly. I forgot to mention it. Lehman Forrest.
What am I thinking? Regardless, don't bring it up, Gil.
Forrest Lehman says, way more scared of Livy than Skeens. I guess he's got a Jackson Merrill ticket for Rookie of the Year. And he's way more scared of Olivia Dunn, I guess is what he's saying. Skeens' girlfriend than Skeens himself. I don't know why he's scared of Olivia Dunn. Dream K Rushers.
That narrative. I think that's the part of the narrative that's going to win out over Skeens' pitching.
That's right. Dream K Rushers. Hey, Gil, just heard you mention my play on ANG. Your advice was solid and appreciated. Oh, played 1,000 on Navarro and $200 parlay. Navarro Muhova, like you, would be stunned if Muhova loses today. That was the gentleman who wanted advice on his parlay, and so he at least got the Navarro money home yesterday. We'll read more of your tweets on the other side, and our NFL draft our awards draft, our awards betting draft between Kelly and me. That's next, right here on A Numbers Game.